So imagine for a minute that you're a second generation Israelite of those who were taken out of Egypt, out of bondage. So you grew up, you were born in the desert. You grew up in the desert. Your family's been wandering for 40 years. They've been telling you the stories of all that had happened. And then you stumble across a map, and you're looking at it, and you're like, okay, so Egypt is right here. And now, after 40 years, wait a minute. We haven't gone very far in 40 years. Hey, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, why haven't we gone very far in 40 years? Egypt's only like right over here. Shouldn't we have gotten there a lot sooner? And they have to respond with, well, because we are a stiff-necked people. That's the response. Because if you've ever looked at a map, you would know that they should have been able to get from Egypt to the Promised Land in about 2 weeks. And yet it was 40 years. Why? Because Israel was a stiff-necked people. Like, let's review the story real quick. The reason why Moses even shows up is because they're out in Egypt complaining. Oh, we're slaves and our life is so... It's a legitimate complaint, okay? That one's legitimate. So Moses shows up. He's like, hey, watch this. He does some plagues. Pharaoh gets mad at them and he increases their workload. So then they're like, oh, Moses, why'd you come here? Just come to make our life more difficult? Moses is like, okay, can we just be done here, Lord? The Lord's like, nope, let's keep going. So all the 10 plagues later, they get to the Red Sea. They're like, oh, yeah, this is great. And then they're like, oh, no, we're stuck. We're going to die. Why have you led us out here to die in the wilderness? Start complaining again. Moses, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Parts the Red Sea. They go through like, yay, this is awesome. 5 minutes on the other side, and they're like, we're hungry. Why did you send us out here? We had plenty of food back in Egypt. Let's just go back there. So he gives them quail and miraculous bread from heaven, miracle bread. And then, you know, again, a couple minutes later, they're like, we're so sick of this miraculous bread from heaven. They're thirsty. They're complaining about being thirsty. You've led us out here to die in the wilderness. So he makes water come out of the rock. He keeps doing miracle after miracle after miracle, and they keep complaining. That is the definition of a stiff-necked people. That's it, right there. And so then they finally accept the Ten Commandments. Says, okay, God's going to be our people, our God, and we're going to be His people. This is great. We're gonna really live everything He says. We're gonna do. And then Moses goes up onto the mountain. He comes back down, and what are they doing? They're worshiping a golden calf. They can't get it right. And then this is where this conversation comes in. Moses is talking to God, and he says, look, they're stiff-necked people, but please don't leave me with them. It's kind of funny. There's several interchanges between Moses and God where God's like, hey, this people whom you led out of Egypt has gotten depraved. And then later Moses is like, this people whom you, they're your people. Parents, you've probably done that with your kids sometimes too. You know what your kid did today? That's what Moses and God are doing. Because it's a stiff-necked people. And what's at the other end of it? I mean, again, you're this kid and you grew up in the desert. You're hearing about this promised land. You heard about the slavery and you're like, wait a minute. But wasn't God sending you to like this land flowing with milk and honey? Yeah, he was. And we blew it. And so all of them, remember how the story goes? Everyone who left Egypt, all the adults who left Egypt, they don't get to go to the promised land. They don't get to enter into the reward. And so here they are like kicking and screaming against the reward. God is like, hey, I got something great for you. And they're like, oh, but Egypt. This is the definition of a stiff-necked people. And this kid, he's looking at the map and he goes, but doesn't Moses, like Moses went up on the mountain and he asked God to show him his glory and he asked to hear his name. And the Lord said, this is his name. He said, my name is the Lord, the merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity. Slow to anger. He's slow to anger, Ma. Yeah, and we pushed him all the way to the limit. We still managed. Oh, man. And brothers and sisters, that's us, right? We're that stiff-necked people. I don't think it's accidental that the mural in the apse facing the door in which the priest enters from the sacristy is Moses throwing down the Ten Commandments at his stiff-necked people who are worshiping a golden calf. I don't think that's accidental. I think the pastor who painted that knew. In fact, when I first came here 4 years ago, I think it was a bowman who warned me. He said, "Father, you've come to Delano. Beware. We're a stiff-necked people." But we all are. We all are. We're all that stiff-necked people. We've all seen the goodness of the Lord. We've heard his promise, and yet we keep going against or missing or complaining about what he's trying to do, what he's trying to give to us. And like, just think of that image, stiff-necked. It's kind of funny. I mean, obviously, it's a connotation of obstinacy and stubbornness, but like, just that image of it being, when we all had a stiff neck, and you're just kind of stuck here, right? You can't look to the side very well. So if somebody says, "Hey, come down this way," you're like, "What? What?" You know, you can't see what's around you. You certainly can't look up. You can't look up and see God smiling down on you and guiding you along. You can't hear his voice because you're stuck. You're stuck looking at the ground in front of you, gazing at your navel. That's what it means to be stiff-necked, stuck in yourself. And so even when God wants to pour out blessings, we're just still stuck in, but I this and I that. I think one of the things that we can glean from this feast of the Holy Trinity, there's many things we can say, but one thing we can say is the perfect unity of the three persons is something that all of us deep down desire. We desire that unity. Because our experience is that whenever two people are in the same room together, there is conflict. And yet somehow, these three persons exist from all eternity with no conflict. Perfect unity. And it's not that there's just nothing going on to conflict about. I mean, look at this. The Father sends the Son. He sends the Son on mission. And the Son doesn't go, "Well, that's a dumb idea. Why don't you do it?" He says, "Yes, I'm going." The Son sends the Spirit at Pentecost. He sends him. And the Spirit doesn't say, "Well, how come I got to do all the hard stuff? I want to stay up here in heaven." Now that he goes. And we see it through the whole scriptures, the Lord, the Spirit sending others. Moses is sent. Now he kind of squabbles a little bit, but then he goes. And what does he go to the Israelites to do? He goes to send them. He goes to send them on mission. Their mission wasn't just to get to the promised land, but it's to be the witness for all nations of the glory of God. Jesus confirms this at the very end of his ministry when he says this to the apostles. "Go to all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I've commanded you." And we see only when we are fulfilling our mission, only when we're obedient, submissive to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, and what call they've placed on our life, do we find our own fulfillment. Because the options are, like the Israelites, who squabble every time they're told to do something or go somewhere, end up miserable and end up dying in the desert and not reaching the promised land, or saying, "Yes, Lord, send me. Wherever you want me to go, I'll do it because I know that it's for your glory and for my salvation, my good. This is for my good." And so one of the things we can take from this feast of the Holy Trinity is that desire for unity, that desire for mission, and the only by following the mission that the Lord has given me do I find the peace and the unity which I truly desire. And that's what we desire. And so in a special way, I say to our graduates, the Lord has a special mission for you. And it's your job, it's your goal to be attentive to it. The Spirit will put it in your heart if you give him the time. But if we're going to be stubborn like the Israelites and just kind of navel gaze and like, well, what do I want to do? And what do I want? And where am I going to feel the most comfortable? And we're not going to find it. We can only find it by looking up, by gazing to the sky, by putting ourselves in the position to receive from the Holy Trinity. And this is for all of us. Today, in a moment, I'm going to commission our Synod Evangelization team in accordance with what our Archbishop has been asking us and has flowed out of the Synod to send us on mission. And we're sending them out on mission here in our local area. This is their mission field. And they're not the only missionaries in our parish, because we're all called to be missionaries. Just like Israel was to just be the example, the seed of the missionary activity of the entirety of the church, so too they're there to act as the leaven in our community, so all of us can be on mission. So all of us can find our purpose. So all of us can be united in him who is three persons in one single nature. So my brothers and sisters, let's open up our hearts to this mystery today, these mysteries of our salvation, this mystery of God's love for us and God's call to us. It's so amazing the way that we see, why did the Lord work the way that he did with Moses? He could have just come and delivered the Israelites on his own. But he does it in these ways. He likes to use us. He wants to use us. He wants to use you to carry out his mission to the ends of the world. Let's open up our hearts and allow him in.
Sorry, I should have told you to stay seated.